listening to Be Still and Know, a ministry of Carmen United Church in Sydney Mines. I am Reverend Nick Phillips, and today's reading is from Luke chapter 24, verses 36 to 49. But before we begin, I invite you to join me in prayer. Lord, may you always be in our thoughts. May we always be turning to you and looking for life and hope and meaning. Lord, may you be the center of our focus, from which all of our life flows. And Lord, may you be with us as we hear your word for us today. May the words of my mouth and may the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, you who are our rock, our strength, and our Redeemer. Amen. Well, it's been kind of a weird week, I think is one way to put it. Certainly over the last week in the news, we've seen two prominent public figures well-known in their respective fields. They committed suicide this week. We saw Ontario election results, which were probably a surprise to many, many people, as we kind of fear that maybe American-style politics are moving north. And then there was the period of this weekend where it kind of did, when we had the G7 meetings in Quebec this weekend with clashing personalities and leadership styles. We also had that terrible fire in Bedeck and the historic Inverarian. And don't get me started on the weather either. Temperature swings much. But certainly, probably the most significant thing this week is that we saw people end their lives by their own hand. And when someone famous dies, we mourn. Whether it's movie stars or royalty or musicians or whatever field of excellence they excel in, when they pass away, those who are fans mourn. And if it's someone that we particularly really look up to, it hurts even a little bit more. Sometimes the loss of a celebrity we adore can tap into our own unresolved pain and grief in our own lives. When you look at Western society kind of as a whole, I think we can agree that we don't do grief very well. We don't. We bottle it up. We hide it. We hold it inside. And that's not a healthy way to grieve. Now, I'm not saying we need to be crying all the time and wailing, but there needs to be some sort of release for the grief we hold. And sometimes, though, even when we do try to show some pain or show our grief, even then someone may make fun of us. We just don't do grief well. I remember when probably my favorite actor passed away a few years ago. And I shared on social media how I had watched one of my favorite movies that the guy was in. And it shook me up a little. I felt grief. I probably even cried. And I shared that on social media. And sure enough, shortly after, a member of my family made fun of me, called me a sissy for feeling sad. Now, I tell you, when that person's most favorite celebrity in the world passed away shortly after, I had to show a lot of restraint. But this whole discussion that we've seen pop up again around mental health issues, like depression and anxiety, the fact that we're discussing again is awesome. It's amazing. It's important. We need to help remove that stigma that around these issues and find help for people who suffer from these things. But we clearly have a long way to go. People are still killing themselves, committing suicide every day. Even people who, when we look at them, we figure they must have it all sorted out. They have it all put together. But no, we find out that's not true. On Friday morning, I tried to ask to access the Canadian Suicide Prevention website, but I couldn't get through. It was too busy. I was just trying to find some data to share with you today. But I did find some stats on through Statistics Canada. What I found out is that annually, roughly 12 out of every 100,000 Canadians commit suicide every year. And if you look north to the territories, especially in Nunavut, that number tops 80 per 100,000. These numbers are heartbreaking. And when you do the math, you realize that this is over 4,000 people in Canada who commit suicide every year. That's over 11 people every day. That's one every 2 hours. Every 2 hours, someone makes that, excuse me, makes that incredibly hard decision to end their life. I don't know the cause. I don't know what causes people to go down this path that leads them in this way. I don't know the thought process. I don't know the pain that they carry. I don't know when they lost hope. But then again, if you're looking at hope, it's hard to find in the world these days. Especially if you're watching the news, like I said off the top. This has been a weird week for news. We're seeing world leaders take shots at one another through social media and traditional media. Where they're making threats around trade and security. We're seeing highly regarded people in their own fields take their own lives. We're seeing election results that just don't seem to make sense to those of us who think we have sense. It's hard to find stories of hope these days. But I think we can look and we can find one story of hope for sure locally here. That though, even though there was the tragic fire in Bedeque, we see hope in that the community is rallying together. We see people stepping up and helping people who have lost possessions, tourists who have had their travel plans disrupted. We're seeing a community come together around the inn itself to offer support and help in this time. And we're even seeing the resort itself say, we're still committed to each and every event we're hosting this year, including a wedding that was supposed to happen this weekend. So we're seeing stories of hope in tough times. We need hope in our lives. Without it, there's nothing to hold on to, especially when things are rough. So it's in our reading from Luke this morning. It follows immediately after our reading last week, which, if you remember, was Jesus meeting the two disciples on their way home to Emmaus. And when the two disciples realize that it's Jesus, they jump up and run back to Jerusalem so that they can tell the others. And this is where we pick up on our reading today, that the two disciples are there and they're sharing that they have seen Jesus. And it says they're all talking about it. And then Jesus appears there as well. Now, I think leading up to this, once they realized that the tomb was empty, once they felt that Jesus is gone, I think their hearts are broken for the second time. The first time being the death on the cross. I imagine that through the morning, because this is Easter day still that we're talking about, and imagine through that morning and into the afternoon, it's a very somber gathering, a very hopeless gathering in that house. Now remember, in the Gospel of Luke, no one has seen Jesus at the tomb. That's in the other Gospels. The first to see Jesus in the Gospel of Luke are the two disciples walking to Emmaus. And so those two disciples, they found their hope again when they found Jesus. And they're going back to share their hope with the others. And then Jesus shows up there. And they're getting excited. And Jesus appears. Now at that moment when Jesus reappears, I'm wondering if the two disciples had some questions for Jesus. Like, why did you make us run all the way back when you just disappeared there and appeared here? Couldn't you have taken us along with you? It would have saved us a lot of energy. But think, though, that just moments before this was a host of hopelessness. Everything they had lived for the last 3 years was gone. All they had seen, all they had heard, gone. So how could Jesus leave them like this? How could he not fight back? How could he not take himself down from that cross? How could he have not even said goodbye? They are looking for hope. They want hope. What they didn't realize, though, is that Jesus isn't done yet. Death is not the end of the plan. There's so much more to do, so much more to teach, so many more people who need to know hope in their lives, God's hope in their lives. Now, if you remember last week, when Jesus encountered the two disciples walking down the road, what did he say to them? Or what did he tell them? He taught them from Scripture, right? And when he talked about Scripture, he referred to the Scripture that's pointing to what had happened the 3 days before, what had been going on in the life of the Messiah. And what happened? We're told that their hearts burned with desire. They wanted to know more of God. And so when Jesus appears to the disciples in the house, what do we hear him do? Well, the first thing he does is he reassures them that it is indeed Jesus himself. He says, "So here, look at my wounds. Check them out. Touch them. Look at them. Give me something to eat." He reassures them that he is alive and well in this moment. There's no doubt in their minds that this is Jesus standing there with them. And then and Luke tells us in verse 45, Jesus opened their minds so they could understand the Scriptures. There's those pesky Scriptures again. Jesus shared Scripture with them. Again, he told them from the Old Testament how it told them all what was going to happen for those last few days. It's all there. And then Jesus said this, "Repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem." And then he says, "You're the witnesses." Jesus is telling them they have not seen the end of it. This is not the last. In fact, Jesus tells them, "You're going to see something even greater, more amazing. There will be preaching to all the nations, starting in Jerusalem." Where are they right now? They're in a house in Jerusalem. Well, talking about getting a dose of hope when you most need it, right? But first, Jesus says, "You've got to sit here and wait just a little bit longer. I'm going to send you something," Jesus says, "that God has promised. So stay right where you are and wait." Now, I think we know what they're going to be getting, right? Because we know the rest of the story. And we celebrated it just a few weeks ago. Jesus is referring to the gift of the Holy Spirit that comes on Pentecost. Talk about getting hope. Jesus tells them that some great things are going to happen. And if you just sit there and wait, you're going to get a gift from God. And you're going to see the gospel preached to all the nations. This is going to be exciting. This is giving them a whole lot of hope right now, I think. I think the best part of this story, though, is they don't know how it's going to happen. They don't know that they're going to have a huge role in this part of the story. They don't know that once they get this promised gift of God, they will be the ones who are preaching. They will be the epicenter. They will be the center of the storm that is the gospel of Jesus Christ being preached to the nations. Now, that might be a good thing that they don't know this. Because what if I told you right now that each and every one of you is going to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ to all the nations? Now, I know enough of you well enough that that doesn't make you very comfortable. But that's what Jesus does with them. They are the ones who start it all through the gift of the Holy Spirit. But even still, just knowing it's going to happen, just knowing that there is a plan, even though they don't know the plan, even though just Jesus telling them that it's not done yet, that has to be giving them hope. On top of everything else they've seen over the last few days, the death on the cross, the empty tomb, and now Jesus reappearing in the flesh, alive and well, right in front of them, well, I would think to say best day ever probably came to their mind. We live in a world right now that is craving hope. Unfortunately, because of things like mental illness, some people cannot seem to find hope. I mean, you look at Anthony Bourdain. This is a guy who traveled the world telling stories of hope. That was his whole platform. And he did it around food and gathering and eating and breaking bread together. And he shared it widely. He was all over the place. But even he, who was a storyteller of hope, even he had dark, dark moments where hope could not be found. And so we are the church. We are followers of Jesus Christ. We are the ones who cling to hope. We have this hope because in Jesus we know God is not done yet. We know that through Scripture there's much more to come because our Savior, our hope, and our guide is alive and is still working in this broken world. We have hope because we read things like we read this morning that says the name of Jesus is going to be preached to all the nations, then there will be repentance of sin and people will find hope. In other words, let's stop looking for hope where it places it is at best fleeting. Government cannot promise hope. Money and fame cannot promise hope. At least not eternal hope. At least not lasting hope. And no one can promise these things. Only one can promise these things. And he is Jesus Christ our Lord, the Son of God. Our God who loves us and wants us to know him and the hope which he brings. And so I invite you to ask Jesus Christ to share this wonderful hope with you today, whether you think you need it or not. The hope Jesus gives is far greater than any hope you will ever find on this planet. This hope comes from the love of God for you and the life-changing peace he brings. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, you have given us so much. You gave your life on the cross as a sacrifice for our sin, yet you yourself had no sin. You also appeared to your friends to show them the victory. That victory was not death's to hold, but God's. You paid it all for us, and we thank you. We also thank you, Jesus, for bringing us hope, for showing this world is not the answer, it's not our goal, but God is. Eternal life with our Father in heaven is our goal. So, Lord Jesus, may we know your hope in our lives. May we be a sign of hope for others who are struggling in this world. May we all know your love for us, and may we turn our hearts to you. This world is in need of hope. So may we all know the hope you offer to all who follow you. We pray this in your most holy name. Amen and amen. Thank you for listening to Be Still and Know, a ministry of Carmen United Church in Sydney Mines. To learn more about our ministry, please visit our website, www.carmenunited.ca. May God bless you this day.